Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport is among 40 airports across the country forced to slash air traffic by 10% starting tomorrow. That's as the government shutdown becomes the longest in U.S. history. Federal Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said Wednesday that traffic would be cut from the country's busiest airports to maintain travel safety. Local travel expert Scott McMurrin says he hasn't seen this much uncertainty for airline passengers since the disruption that followed the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
When the Secretary of Transportation says he predicts mass chaos, well, then I have to plan for mass chaos. And so that means a lot of flights may get through unscathed. But just because the flight gets through doesn't mean the travelers themselves aren't affected.
Airport officials confirmed by email Thursday that Anchorage International is included among the airports where flights will be reduced. But few additional details were available, including if both passenger and cargo flights will be affected. The Anchorage Airport is one of the busiest cargo airports in the world. The state entity that manages the airport said in a statement it's working to minimize impacts. The Seattle-Tacoma International Airport is also on the list of airports forced to make reductions, and is where many flights to and from Alaska connect through. Alaska Airlines said it canceled a limited number of flights in response to the FAA directive, but international flights are not expected to be impacted. Passengers with questions about specific flights should contact their airline. This is KTOO. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Juneau Assembly is facing some tough decisions in the coming months. That's after Juneau voters approved tax cuts this fall, leaving an estimated $12 million annual hole in the city's budget. Last night, Assembly members discussed what that will mean for the level of services the city can provide moving forward. KTOO brings us more. The municipal tax cuts approved by Juneau voters in this fall's election are expected to create a $6.4 million hole in the city's budget this fiscal year. But that's only scraping the surface. Next year and every year moving forward, the city will face an estimated $12 million revenue loss. That's due to the tax exemptions on food and utilities and cap on the city's property tax rate that voters passed. This year, the funding gap is smaller because the city is already partially through this fiscal year. During a finance committee meeting on Monday, assembly members began to discuss how to move forward. Assembly member Alicia Huskandes says the decisions ahead won't be easy.
I think that when people understand the magnitude of the decisions made in the last election, there is going to be a little bit of whiplash.
For the immediate $6.4 million hole this fiscal year, assembly members agreed on Wednesday to absorb the revenue shortfall using interest earnings from last fiscal year that came in higher than expected. They opted against implementing any broad service reductions. For now, Angie Flick, the city's finance director, says it gives the assembly more time to figure out how to address the recurring shortfall beginning next fiscal year.
We have the opportunity to take some time to make thoughtful decisions about reductions that we need to make.
Flick and city staff floated a few directions the assembly could take to fill the reoccurring gap, though no major decisions were made.
We do not need to answer every question tonight.
She offered options like implementing a blanket reduction in funding across all city departments, hiring freezes, cutting services and major line item expenses, or increasing revenue. The assembly also agreed to distribute the remainder of the grant funding that the city withheld from local organizations before the election. The city originally withheld the funds out of concern about the revenue loss if the ballot propositions passed. Assembly member and Finance Committee Chair Christine Wall advocated to provide the full funding promised.
I think it plays into this idea that our community grants are philanthropy, that we're doing this to be nice. We're doing this because these are needed services in our communities that others can do more efficiently and better.
City staff and the assembly plan to evaluate the city's finances in the coming months and develop a plan to engage the public as it moves forward with any potential reductions to services. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And the state of Alaska is moving forward with a controversial plan to build a brand new ferry terminal north of Juneau that it says will have short and long-term benefits. But the idea has stirred pushback in communities who rely on the ferry system to access healthcare, air travel, and more in Juneau. An advisory board charged with overseeing the ferry system's planning process has also raised concerns. Alaska Public Media's Ava White spoke with Avery Elfelt, the Alaska Desk's Haines-based reporter. She's been following the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal's project's evolution and says the project would entail a brand new ferry terminal about 30 miles north of the current one in Auk Bay.
So the new terminal would be way closer to Haines and Skagway, which basically just means it would significantly shorten the ferry run between Juneau and those two communities. The state says that's a good thing because a shorter ferry run would mean less fuel, shorter hours for workers. It could also mean less wear and tear on the boats. The state also says the project would actually make the ferry system more reliable and flexible, though that's a point kind of contested by locals. So far, the state has signed a $28 million contract to start phase one of the project. That contract will pay for things like design work, an access road, a gate, but not actually the terminal itself.
You're hinting at that folks, at least in Haines and Skagway, seem pretty against this idea. What are their concerns?
Of course, there are always going to be opinions on both sides, but many folks do seem to think that the new terminal really wouldn't do much for people who live in the Upper Lynn Canal in Haines and Skagway. Right now, if you take the ferry from Haines, you know, it drops you in Auk Bay, which is about 10 miles outside Juneau. Already, it can be hard and expensive to get into town because there's no public transportation. But the Cascade Point terminal could actually make that harder because passengers would deboard an additional 30 miles outside town. There is kind of talk of a shuttle between Cascade Point and Auk Bay, but that would also cost money and adds another step to what can be an already really long travel day. Winter weather and road conditions could also complicate things. Haines Mayor Tom Morfitt told me recently he thinks the project would result in a, quote, net loss of access for the average user.
So if the ferry users don't generally want this, then why is the state moving ahead?
Yeah, the state really kind of laid it out in an economic analysis they recently released. It kind of digs into some pros and cons and acknowledges that based on operational savings alone from things like fuel, labor, less maintenance, that the project is kind of hard to justify just because it will cost so much. But it also digs into some near-term pros and really emphasizes that its potential value comes from some longer-term possibilities. That includes its potential to boost the feasibility of a proposed gold mine near Juneau, and then also to facilitate kind of a more flexible travel plan as part of a much larger project in the region. That project has also been controversial in Haines and Skagway and would entail another ferry terminal, a new road near Haines, and then also a bridge into Haines, and is a much more complicated and long-term idea.
Why should Alaskans and other parts of the state care?
So the state already spends a lot on the ferry system, and an oversight board says the transportation department, at least so far, really hasn't built a strong case for this major investment, and that's either from a customer service or a financial standpoint. The chair of that board, Winnetta Ayers, has consistently said that's a major problem because the ferry system already is underfunded and that every dollar at its disposal really needs to be spent strategically. Here's Ayers.
We don't have the time or the money for misfiring, doing projects that either don't come to fruition or don't really contribute to service levels, you know, meeting the needs of Alaskans.
That's especially true, she says, given a long list of other projects in desperate need of funding.
So what happens now?
Yeah, so the state is currently soliciting public feedback on phase one of the project. Folks can submit that feedback through November 28th. Beyond that, DOT anticipates construction beginning in the summer of 2026 and stretching into 2027.
And the municipality of Anchorage is set to own its city hall rather than rent it after the assembly approved a purchase agreement Tuesday night. In total, the city is authorized to spend about $35 million on both the building and renovations to the roof and fire systems. The municipality has rented the downtown building as city hall since 1979. Anchorage Chief Administrative Officer Bill Falsey says the city has already paid far more than the building's value in rent, and the current lease expires at the end of the year.
Since 1979, and without adjusting for inflation, we've already paid more than $60 million in rent. It looked to us as we were analyzing the possibilities that there's just no reason to keep doing that in perpetuity, and it'll be in the municipality and the public's long-term best interest to just buy the building.
To buy the building, Falsey says the city is borrowing roughly $35 million from J.P. Morgan Securities. The city will then lease the building from the lender for the next 30 years. And then the city will fully own it. Eagle River Assembly member Jared Gerker says he's concerned about the timing of the purchase, which comes as the city weighs multiple tax proposals to address what officials have described as a fiscal cliff.
It's a hard thing for people to wrap their heads around that, oh, by the way, we're gonna commit $35 million and we're gonna buy a building. So the timing obviously is not ideal, though I do understand, of course, you know, we've been renting this son of a gun for quite a while.
Similarly, in September, the Juneau Assembly greenlit the purchase of two floors of the Michael J. Burns Building, which houses the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation downtown, which will become Juneau's new City Hall location after renovations. The cost to purchase the floors is $10.2 million. Renovations could add more than $7.5 million. And now for a quick look at weather today in Juneau. It is lightly raining and 45 degrees. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers after 3 a.m., increasing clouds with a low of around 38 degrees. Tomorrow, rain with a high near 40, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, there will be showers mainly before 3 a.m. Saturday, there's also a 50% chance of rain before 9 a.m. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.